God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer.
My administration will be focused on three very important words. Jobs, jobs, jobs.
This man must be a minister, a social worker, a diplomat, a tough guy, and a gentleman. And of course he'll have to be a genius because he'll have to feed a family on a policeman's salary.
From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. We, the citizens of America, are now joined in a great national effort to rebuild our country and restore its promise for all of our people. Because today, we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another, or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And that's right. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to The Scott Adams Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. I'm joined by Leonor Cravotta. Hello, Leonor.
Hello, Scott. Happy President's Day.
Happy President's Day. So did you take a check out of that beast that went on Daytona?
Yeah, that was pretty exciting. I believe President Trump was only the second president to appear at Daytona. I think George W. was there. So this was actually kind of exciting that he...
Reagan.
Reagan was there also?
No, I think it was just Reagan. But that was the first time we've ever seen a limo do what it did.
I thought it was George W. Bush, but it I might be wrong.
But you know, the thing is that this is Trump's show.
Yeah.
He flew in like a boss.
And he addressed everybody. And
with Air Force One on a low flyover, 800 feet off the ground, and landed the damn plane right adjacent to the runway, to the track. I mean, everybody was showed up. Everybody was in the infield. Everybody was in the stands. That was a packed place. I was waited with bated breath, and I know I wasn't alone. And the fact is that... you know, this was great. This was a great PR stunt, if you want to call it that.
But it was a PR stunt, but it was in a state that matters to him, Florida, which is now going to become his new state after he stops being president. He's already said he's no longer a New York resident.
It was a really brilliant marketing move. And, you know, of course, we don't know who the winner of the Daytona 500 is going to be because they didn't really do the race. They just... They had a victory lap for Donald Trump, and that was about it. I mean, they didn't have the race because it rained out.
Yeah, that's terrible when that happens for an event like that, where you know you're so dependent on the weather, and you know there's so much momentum that goes into building up in advance of the event. It's just got to be such a disappointment. Do you know when it's going to be rescheduled for?
Today. Yep, President's Day.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. So one of the things we've been talking a lot about in politics is, well, not only is Trump a boss, but the media has been going after Trump every chance they get. Trump just tweeted this out. He says, last week, the fake news said that a section of our powerful under construction southern border wall fell over, trying to make it sound terrible.
Fell over where?
It fell over.
Yeah. That's just weird that they would say that.
I have to finish the tweet.
Finish the tweet.
Last week, the fake news said that a section of our powerful under construction southern border wall fell over, trying to make it sound terrible. Except the reason was the concrete foundation was just poured and soaking wet when big winds kicked in, quickly fixed, and then he puts in quotes, forever. So the wall is going to be up forever, and that was his answer to it. Like, yeah, walls fall over when you're building them, but we're building strong walls that are going to keep out the unwanted.
Right.
But what is he really talking about? Well, what we're really talking about there, it's not about It's not about the illegal immigrants. It's not about, well, it is all about these things. I shouldn't say it like this. But it's not just to keep out illegals. It's not just to keep out human trafficking and drug trafficking. It's not just to keep out the drugs to keep our children safe. It's not just about trying to save people's lives by preventing them from being human trafficked to the point where they're sex slave labor or slave labor in general. It's not about any of these things. What it is about, it's about election fraud. And so one of the themes of today's show is going to be about what is going on right in front of our faces that we need to actually be a lot more aware of and what's happening. And in our very own state, the state of Virginia, where we live inside the Beltway in D.C., in Arlington, they have passed a law that said that Virginia is going to be a national popular vote
state.
It hasn't,
let me just clarify, it has not yet been passed into law.
They
passed it in legislation. It still
What's
needs,
next?
It's, well, I think it was passed in the House. It still needs to go to the Senate, the state Senate, and it still needs to go to the governor.
Well, the governor's going to sign it.
And then we know the governor's going to sign it.
Because so, the governor's a libtard.
And this would make Virginia the 16th state to be basing their elections on the national election versus the Electoral College, which is actually in defiance of the Constitution.
It is. I don't know how they're getting away with this.
Well, you know what they're doing? They're posturing this as, you know, way back when the Constitution was created, it was all a bunch of white landowners, and that's exactly the way it's been described. And now that everything has changed, so this is being put under the rubric of social justice.
The Supreme Court's never going to overturn this, but it needs to see the Supreme Court. I think that in April or May, the court is going to see this case.
Yeah.
But in different strains and different variations of this case. But what concerns me the most about this case, and this is, I wrote a lot about this over the weekend, and it's concerning me, and it's something that needs to be talked about, and that is that there's about 15, 16 states, mm-hmm. and then there's D.C., not considered a state, but there are 15, 16 states, Virginia being one of them. Now, Virginia and Minnesota and New Mexico and New Hampshire are states, or I don't even know if New Hampshire did. I know New Mexico, Minnesota, and Virginia have done this. And then there's New York and California. Remember we were talking last week
right.
about all these, all the states were liberal? Well, all the liberal states are going with this popular vote because they're basically saying that Trump didn't win the election. Hillary did because she won the most popular, you know, the most votes. But the problem with this theory is that she got all her votes in California where they were voting illegally.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's just the problem. Everybody's moving out of California. We hear that. No one wants to pay their taxes and deal with their politicians. So they leave because Maxine Waters can't, you know, she couldn't hang a shingle, let alone run a store.
Do you want me to repeat the states that have it?
Please. That'd
okay.
be great.
All right. So Maryland, New Jersey, Illinois, Hawaii, Washington, which we've already, actually that's Washington State, Massachusetts, D.C., Vermont, California, Rhode Island, New York, Connecticut, Colorado, Delaware, New Mexico, and Oregon. And then we're going to add Virginia. So in actuality, they were saying it was only going to be, it was 15 to begin with. This is actually 15 already. With the addition of D.C. So now it would be a total of 17.
And some of these states have passed this law, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's, I mean, there's different, various so, levels of status.
Okay,
I mean,
but,
most of the, just real quickly, most of the ones that I'm looking at, it's that they have been signed by the governor of the respective state.
Okay.
And in many cases, the governor at the time was a Democrat.
Right. Well, in every one of those states, those are states that Trump lost. Can you name one state that passed it that Trump didn't win? I mean, the Trump won.
None.
Okay. None. He didn't win New Jersey. He didn't win Maryland. He didn't win any of those states you just mentioned.
Right.
So here's the thing. What they're doing is they see Trump as a threat. They think that Trump can flip New Jersey. Look at what he did in Wildwood with his rally.
Yeah.
Right. They think he can flip, Virginia, for sure. They think he can flip New Mexico, and they think he can flip. Was Nevada on the list?
Nevada is not on the list.
Okay, I didn't think so. But they think he can flip Colorado, and they think he definitely can flip Minnesota unless A.B. Klobuchar is running.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what their thinking is. But here's where they're probably where the Democrats always shoot, and it always backfires into their face. This is how it's going to backfire in their face. If they if that stands, Trump is more than likely going to win the popular vote. And that means that all the states that didn't do it, the Electoral College is going to go to Trump.
Yeah.
And all the states that Trump doesn't win, even in his best day, like California and New York,
they're going to go to him too.
Yes, exactly. That's the point.
So they've screwed themselves.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Said another way.
No, I mean, that's why I just can't imagine them being that stupid. No. But really, they are. And here's the other thing. Because I actually tweeted this story out by the Daily Caller. It was written up by Jason Hopkins. And it was he's an immigration and politics reporter. And what he talked about was this story. It says, forced to make at-large arrests, Trump admin deploying Border Patrol tactical units to sanctuary cities across the country. So now here's where the war begins. We're going to go ahead and skip through that. Here's where the war begins, Leonora.
Yes.
And this is why we're at war. We're in war on so many fronts. They're going after, they want Barr to resign. You know, they don't want Trump to investigate Ukraine. You know, obviously all these things are in play. You know, and we can talk about the Russian hoax, and we can talk about Fusion GPS, and we could talk about Durham and Barr. We could talk about the fact that in about 5 days, we're going to have Julian Assange testifying in a court in England that's going to reveal some information. We could talk about a mistrial, retrial of Roger Stone. We could talk about Jesse Smollett and his court case is going now through the courts. And what that's going to reveal, we could talk about Varsity Blues, Harvey Weinstein, NXIVM, and all these other liberal cases. How about Epstein, right? Yeah. So all these things are going to be revealed. There's a lot of war going on. But the one we're talking about today is the one that's so important about our electoral integrity. Now, there's a story here, and at first glance and at face value, you'd read this story and you'd say, oh, Trump's tough on illegals. That's not what's going on here. And I'm going to read this story and then I'm going to explain. So forced to make at-large arrests, Trump admin deploying Border Patrol tactical units to sanctuary cities across the country. I think sanctuary cities are just god-awful. I mean, it's just ridiculous that one group of people would get one standard of treatment and another group would get another. And the group that's getting the kid glove treatment, they're not even Americans.
Right.
The ones that are getting the brochure handed to them that says, we want to give you free education, free health care, free everything, welfare, free housing, free food stamps. And if you're not able to speak the language, we're going to declare you to be disabled.
Yeah, that is completely ridiculous.
Yeah, we played that video clip last week.
That is absolutely ridiculous. Imagine this. You're going to have all these people coming to this country declaring that they're disabled because
they can't speak
the language, but they're functional in every other regard.
Right. Just go back home and plant a garden.
It's going to be like an anti-literacy movement if you think about it.
It's insane, but it's so obvious what they're doing. And now they want to give everybody IDs. In New York and in California, they're racing to get as many people, illegals, to vote as they possibly can. And the reason why is because at the same time that they're doing the importing and promotion of illegals to vote, what are they doing in those 15 states?
They're implementing the popular vote.
Exactly.
And then, but you know what also
So you see how they're coordinating together.
I see that, but you know what also is happening right now in March? The census. So, well, I mean, it's all going to be happening at the same time.
And what do they fight tooth and nail about on the census?
The illegal question.
The citizenship question.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is that crazy or what?
It's crazy.
Anybody can see what's happening. So now, I'm going to talk about this story. because what is Trump doing? Well, we read, and you and I, Leonora, covered this about Wisconsin and Georgia. What did they do there? About the purging of the records.
Right. They got rid of voter records.
The reason why I say they were doing that is they had hundreds of thousands of people on the electoral records that weren't responsive to the address.
Yeah.
So what they were saying is...
there was an address mistake where, you know, there were people not responding to the address when the solicitations went out.
So underneath the surface, and what the media is not telling you, is that Trump is working feverishly and around the clock, sending out letters to addresses for verification of citizenship when they suspect that there is voter fraud. And they know where this is. See, that's the thing. They know where this is.
Right.
They know what mailboxes are set up to be ballot harvested. They know exactly what...
And that's another tip off. If it's a mailbox, I mean, that might be another... I mean, I'm not
it's
saying...
It's a mailbox only.
If it's a mailbox only, then that may be a flag that it's not legitimate.
So they're getting these... They're importing these illegals almost like the initial station in San Diego and in New York and in Chicago and in these sanctuary cities. They have these systems set up, and what they're doing is they're taking these identities and they're systematically stealing their identities, and they're moving them to battleground states and setting up mailboxes. And they're setting up these mailboxes so that the mailboxes can get the electoral ballot, the early voting ballot that's being exploited.
Yeah.
They mail all these ballots. It could be 1,000 names going to one mailbox address.
Yeah.
And it could be a fake mailbox address. The problem is during the course of the year, nobody's managing these addresses.
Right.
So what happens is they're getting mailed, and within 30 days, if you don't respond back, you have to go and re-register. So that's Trump's way of saying, F you.
Oh,
right?
Let's make sure you exist.
Yeah, and so when it doesn't happen, next thing you know, they were contesting. They were upset that Georgia had about 300,000 names purged, and Wisconsin had about 300,000 names purged.
I recall hearing about something in Kentucky as well. And you know what?
And how many votes were separated? I think Trump won Wisconsin by 8,000. Yeah. So what I'm saying is that this 300,000 figure makes all a world of difference.
I also think that they caught a lot of people that were illegals a number of years ago with jury duty, because they'd send out the jury duty summons and people were ignoring them. Well, and then they began realizing that these were people, and they had those names off of voter rolls. So they realized that, you know, that the people, there was, at some point they were able to verify that they were illegal, yet they, because they ignored or didn't show up at the jury summons, yet they had already voted. So how did they get into the voter rolls if they were illegal? What form of identification did they show to become a voter? Probably nothing.
Right. So, you know, when they said, Trump, you lose, when it came to the citizenship question on the census.
Yeah.
Trump came out with an executive order and basically said, we are going to take every agency. We're going to take Social Security, IRS, Department of Justice, Department of Energy, and all these different agencies and departments, Department of Education and Labor, Statistics, and we're going to get together and we're going to actually get a number that's more accurate than the census could ever do.
Right.
Because the census is voluntary, right?
Yeah.
We're going to do something. And he used that as a way to say, look, if you don't give me the citizenship question, then you're going to really pay the price.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what he's doing. And the media is not covering it. But the reason why the border is so important, and the reason why he tweeted that out today about, you know, in the wake of the great Daytona, you know, weekend that he had, is because there's a war going on. So I'm going to cover this Daily Caller article where Trump is stepping up an elite border patrol unit. It's called BORTAC.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be deployed across numerous sanctuary cities across the country to help ICE officers locate and apprehend illegal aliens. In addition to the BORTAC officers, 100 Customs and Border Protection agents will be reassigned to sanctuary cities, helping ICE officers conduct operations in cities that refuse to help them catch criminal illegal aliens. The deployment, which is expected to last from February to March, is the latest step the administration has taken to combat liberal jurisdictions that refuse to cooperate with federal immigration authorities. So what I said was this. I tweeted this out and I said, so long as states like Virginia adopt popular vote legislation where their delegates go to the winner of the national popular vote, regardless of who wins their state, Trump must rid our country of illegal voters who dominate rigged sanctuary states like California and New York. Because what they're doing is they're driving up their popular vote. Now, it used to be that, okay, we won't contest New York or California. You could have that. So Hillary won California and New York because of all the illegal voting, and that's what gave her the popular vote. So now the Democrats are basically turning it around and saying, we want to do away with the Electoral College. We want the popular vote. And everybody said, no way, you can't do that. And now they're going with each individual state, and each individual state, unconstitutionally, I think, in your point of view, right?
It's not just my point of view.
Right. But I mean, but they're getting away with it.
Yeah.
And I guess the state can do it. But I mean, at the end of the day, if it happens, then it's real. Right.
Yeah.
And so if Trump were to win Virginia and flip it, because so now the question is, can you have it in such a way to where there's a rule that changes midstream? Like, because Trump could flip Virginia if he were to spend a certain amount of money in Virginia, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if Trump were to spend, 200% in Virginia, he flips Virginia. So he was able to flip Virginia by spending a lot of his equity that he couldn't spend elsewhere.
Exactly.
Because he's spending it in Virginia. He flips Virginia, and Virginia says, thanks, but no thanks, because you lost the popular vote because of the election fraud and ballot harvesting in California and New York. We're not giving you our electorates. We're going to give those to the loser who won the national popular vote.
Yeah.
That's not right.
Of course it's not
right.
So
you got to know up front how to spend your money.
Right.
That's the point.
Yeah.
And that becomes a problem, because if you have 15 states, now here's another problem for Republicans, for example. Is if you say, okay, we got to actually we got to reduce the votes in California, and we got to do bigger numbers in California and New York. Otherwise, we're going to lose the states that we won that have this policy. The ones we flip, like New Mexico, Minnesota, and Virginia, we're going to lose those electorates. So because we're going to win a few flip states, because we're going to win a few flip states in the so-called Democrat firewall, we have to now change the way we campaign, and that's going to reduce the turnout in our red states, because we can't no longer invest the way we normally do. We have to reinvest. We have to tweak the way we invest. That could hurt us in our red states in terms of turnout, which means our popular vote goes down, right? So next thing you know, we can't win the popular vote because we didn't get our base out.
Right.
Right. Because we were spending most of our time trying to win these flip states.
Right.
These blue states.
And you can't forget about your base. That's so important.
Exactly. So the energized base is the one that's going to help you win the popular vote. But if you go after them, then you can't win the battleground state
and
that you want to flip.
And Hillary made that mistake a little bit. She assumed that she had certain states wrapped up and didn't go visit them.
Right. But you see how that presents a problem.
Yes, I do.
You have to know what the rules are up front. So the Supreme Court needs to weigh in on this and declare whether or not it's constitutional what these states are trying to do. That's the part that is my problem. Because once you know what the rules are up front, then you can play by those rules. I just don't see how states can do what they're doing. You could win our state, but we're not going to give you our delegates?
It doesn't make any sense. I mean, seriously, it doesn't make any sense to me at all.
I know. It's frustrating.
That we would move in that direction.
It's absolutely frustrating. So there's another big story going on with regard to McCabe.
Yes.
McCabe is, Lisa Page was out tweeting this mm-hmm. weekend, and she was so arrogant, right? And everybody was hating how arrogant she was. And it was all about her sitting there having a glass of wine and, you know, basically acting, you know, carefree about things. And, you know, she was wearing this T-shirt that says she's done being quiet.
Yeah. Yeah, and she said that before. I don't remember a T-shirt before, but there were a few weeks ago there was a situation where she said she couldn't remain silent anymore or something.
Well, she puts on this T-shirt, and she's drinking a glass of wine, and it's in the wake of the Andy McCabe thing. You know, a lot of people are talking about this, including Jim Jordan, mm-hmm. and saying that that this is just a slice. Actually, it was Trey Gowdy said this. Trey Gowdy said, this is just a slice. And so what people need to understand, and I think a lot of Republicans need to understand, is that there's a bigger case going on, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I believe it. Trey Gowdy believes it. And a lot of people believe it. And again, I could be wrong about this. So I'm not saying I know more than anybody else. But what I would say is that in this case, don't get discouraged because McCabe didn't have his wrist slapped. Number one, you got a jury pool in D.C. that's ridiculous. They just hired a U.S. attorney in Missouri, for example,
mm-hmm.
to reevaluate the Mueller investigation.
Right.
And the guy's name's Joyce, I think. And I'm going to look that up.
I think
up.
The name is Joyce.
And in any case, what we have to do, like, you keep in mind, Durham is in Connecticut. So his grand jury could be a Connecticut grand jury, right?
Right.
And in Huber's in Utah, his grand jury can be a Utah grand jury. If you got a Mitt Romney there, though, it's going to be a problem. But that's Utah's problem. But you know, so Missouri would be a great grand jury pool, wouldn't it? That's a red state.
Yes, it would.
So you want to get these U.S. attorneys in red states to do these investigations and put together their grand juries. But they're looking into the Mueller investigation and Andy Weissman and a whole host of other things. But the McCabe thing, related to the FISA abuse, that case wasn't litigated. That wasn't what was thrown out. What was thrown out was that he lied like Roger Stone did before Congress. And, you know, he did these things that he did with the 302s and lying to the press and lying to the committees and leaking classified information to the press. But strategic leaking is part of the job in the FBI and the CIA, and colluding with the press is actually part of the job. So there's so many ways that you could, if you're Andy McCabe, mm-hmm. hide behind the shield of your and cover of your title
mm-hmm.
as a deputy FBI director and get away with it. Doesn't mean it's right and it doesn't mean it's wrong. It means that they already know what defense he's going to play, and they already know that he's likely going to get away with it if you're in D.C. with a grand jury pull and a rigged judge like Amy Berman Jackson, that you're never going to win that case.
We should remind people of what exactly McCabe did. In 2016, McCabe, who's now a paid CNN contributor, leaked sensitive details of the Bureau's investigation of the Clinton Foundation to the press. He then misled members of the FBI's inspection division when they interviewed him about the leaks, according to a February 2018 Justice Department Inspector General report. And he provided investigators with four misleading statements, three of which were while he was under oath. Okay? I mean, this is not a trivial matter. And yet he's getting away for it with
Absolutely.
It for the moment.
And you know what the rumor is on the street?
What's the rumor on the street?
That he's actually working. He's flipped again.
And so this is just a cover that he's getting away with it.
Well, he would get away with it.
Well,
because,
I mean, obviously
yeah.
he's been given immunity or some form of immunity. Yes.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, the idea is that he's actually, you wouldn't know it maybe, but
yeah. Well, that's why they call it cover.
Yeah. So there is a word on the street that says he's cooperating with Durham and Barr's investigation. So how do you like that?
Well, then that makes the situation make more sense.
It could make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so we don't know. I don't see that. I don't read that. That's not what I read. I don't see it. And I've been, you know, I'm tired of waiting. I want to see who Anonymous is. I want to see heads roll.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody who writes in is frustrated that we have to be so patient.
Yeah.
But you know what? Sun Tzu said patience is really a virtue. I mean, it is definitely
a virtue.
You know, keep your friends close, your enemies closer. Play everything close to the vest. There are so many great Sun Tzu quotes. And the fact is that Trump is a big Sun Tzu guy. He's a strategic thinker. And, you know, the idea here is that, you know, I researched Trump and I said, art of the deal?
Yeah.
Art of war?
Mm-hmm.
Sun Tzu?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. And they say that Sun Tzu is widely used in business.
Well, it's often quoted in a lot of films.
Yeah, I mean,
we
like
joke
Wall
about
Street.
It. It's in Wall Street. It's been in a lot of things. It was in The Morning Show, the TV series.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of obvious references. And again, I think it makes logical sense. You got to have patience.
Right.
And patience is a big part of strategy.
Well, because the Democrats have always been coming at the Republicans with a strategy. And it's a strategy that you don't even see coming. And at this point, it you know, if you tell the little fable to your children about the boy who cried wolf, and they, you know, the person who was saying, you know, fire, fire, and the fire department comes, and there's no fire. Fire, fire, and the fire department comes again, no fire. After a while, the fire, you're going to have a real fire.
And nobody's going to come.
Nobody's going to come.
Because they're going to think that you're fake making
well,
it up.
Well, I believe that's truly where we are at this point in juncture in time with respect to whether or not you should even consider voting Democrat. Because at some point, do you want to really be associated with Gloria Allred, who wants to destroy people's lives by forging yearbooks and trying to win Senate seats?
Yeah.
Or hanging out with Michael Avenatti, who, you know, had a bad week. And Michael Avenatti was connected with Stormy Daniels to shake down a presidential candidate or try to take down a sitting president and be associated with the mainstream media that buys into this crap left and right.
Well, I think
these people, these media, mainstream media, they're basically they have egg all over their face. You know what they're saying this weekend?
What are they saying this
they're
weekend?
They're saying, well, we did get it wrong. I'll admit I got it wrong about Michael Avenatti. And the same joker
well, what else
that
can
says
they
that,
say?
The same joker that says that opines on something else that I disagree with. And I'm
right.
Like, well, you're wrong about that too. Why don't you just like shut your pie hole and move on? Because you shouldn't be in the opining business if you're going to be that
well,
stupid.
Well, they shouldn't be opining to begin with if they're supposed to be journalists. They should be just talking about the facts. But going back to the whole thing with Avenatti and other similar situations, I mean, the strategy behind that is these people are so desperate to find something, anything to hang on the president, that they're willing to believe any, to quote you, joker that comes along. They were so willing to put Michael Avenatti up on a pedestal to even, you know, think that he could become a presidential candidate. And then when you see what a fraud and what a shyster and everything else that he has become, or he was always already, but it's been revealed that he is those things, then it just makes them look ill-informed and it makes them look like they're just struggling to justify their past actions.
Right. And what they didn't count for, what they did not count on, is Trump, you know, after he left Daytona like a boss.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He tweets this out. I'm going to read it again because I read it in the beginning. But he said, last week, fake news said that section of our powerful under-construction southern border wall fell over. Trying to make it sound terrible, except the reason was the concrete foundation was just poured and soaking wet when big winds kicked in, quickly fixed forever, right?
Yeah.
So they're seizing on every, the wall fell down. Oh, well, that happens. A crane falls off of a building, too. You know, I mean, it's like, yeah, that's what happens when you're building stuff. Well, you know,
and only a builder would know about all of that.
Yeah, exactly.
He would know. He would know all the mechanics of putting the building up.
Do you know they set a record yesterday with the Daytona? And let me tell you something.
What
about
was the record?
Well, I mean, I don't know the number, but they were saying everybody was talking about how many people were in the infield.
Oh, you mean a record in attendance?
I mean the buzz surrounding it. They were chanting 4 more years.
Yeah, I heard about
USA.
That. Yep.
I mean, you cannot have a better commercial than that.
No, you can't.
And that is live entertainment. And, you know, the Beast, the Cadillac that the president drives in is 22,000 pounds. It's 11 tons.
Yeah, it's a heavy car.
And the circle, mm-hmm. you know, the Daytona is banked at like, I don't know, I think it's 70%.
Yeah.
It's a ridiculous bank. I mean, you get an 11-ton vehicle. I think that would be a disaster if it started rolling over.
Even speak that way. Really,
no,
seriously.
No one would get hurt. The thing is an armored vehicle. You can survive it. But
still, 22,000 pounds. Just
there was a lot of things that could have gone wrong is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, they made it all look so easy, and they made it right.
He does a good job of picking the moments in which he wants to appear. And, you know, obviously things like the Army-Navy game, the Super Bowl, whatever he picks, this NASCAR, yeah, there's a moment in which the president is connecting with the people. And sports are a great example because they're the national pastime, not to be hokey about it. But
what's interesting is, you know, we have this election season coming up, and we're going to be talking about the Democrats a little bit here. But... They're going out of the way to they want Barr to resign because he's looking into a crime that
right.
they themselves committed.
Right.
The one that they've been trying to obstruct and blockade for 2-3 years.
Yeah.
All of a sudden they've lost. They couldn't win. They can't win to save their lives.
Right.
And Andy Weissman, the chief Bob Mueller prosecutor, the one that actually was responsible for putting the spy in place to give George Papadopoulos, the $10,000 payment mm-hmm. that they then so feverishly tried to sought after
right.
when Papadopoulos came into Dulles Airport.
Right.
And they went through all of his bags. Where's the money?
Yeah.
What money? The money that we actually planted on you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it was absolute amateur hour, yeah. right? Well, it's like, well, I gave it to my attorney. Now deal with that, right?
Yeah.
So that was Andy Weissman. Andy Weissman's the guy that had his case against Arthur Anderson overturned, but only after they went out of business and lost thousands of jobs. Andy Weissman is such a terrible human being,
mm-hmm.
and Bob Mueller hired him. Bob Mueller is one of the worst human beings on the planet. And now his old buddy, William Barr, is looking into that investigation, and we're going to find out what a sham that was. We're also looking at, from a Missouri U.S. attorney, we're looking at political bias within the D.C. district for the U.S. attorneys that are trying to tear these people down, whether it's Paul Manafort or Roger Stone.
You know, I thought that was very interesting. I made that point the other day on the show that I thought the rulings for both of these older people were extremely harsh. They did not necessarily fit the crime. And you kind of look at it, it's once again, it's an extension of the Trump bashing. It's a punishment for their punishing those who had some connection to Trump just because they had a connection to Trump. You know, speaking of the Democrats, so we're getting into, you know, again, primary season. So
give us the schedule. What's coming up?
The next couple of things that are happening on Wednesday, the 19th, there will be the next Democrat debate, and that's in Nevada. And then on Saturday, the 22nd, you'll have the Democratic caucus in Nevada. And then you're going to also have...
Next Saturday, right?
Yeah. And then there's going to be a debate in South Carolina on the... I should find out the exact city. On the 25th. And then you're going to have the South Carolina primaries on the 29th. And so what's interesting right now is you've got more people that are going to be on the stage in Nevada because I guess Bloomberg and Steyer are qualified for Nevada. But right now there's only about five people that are qualifying for the South Carolina debate because they just released the rules. And so it's going to be...
Wait, so Bloomberg's not going to be in South Carolina?
I don't think so. I mean, wow. I'm going to see if... To qualify for the February 25th debate in Charleston, South Carolina... It's Charleston, okay. Candidates need to hit 10% in four polls approved by the Democratic National Committee or 12% in South Carolina-specific polls or win at least one delegate to the Democratic National Convention from the three preceding early states, Iowa, New Hampshire, or Nevada. Polls must be released between February 4th, the day after the Iowa caucuses, and February 24th. So,
polls should not be given any credit whatsoever. They're like a news report. You can make a poll say anything you want.
A poll is just a small portion of it. The delegate piece is pretty important.
And he has no delegates.
Well,
Bloomberg.
let me read again. The two billionaires in the race, Steyer and Bloomberg, have not met the qualifications criteria for either the Nevada or the South Carolina debates. The deadline to qualify for Nevada is February 18th, which is tomorrow. So now it's possible that that Bloomberg, you know, could get or Steyer could get a delegate in Nevada. Well, no, it's not going to work then because if Nevada is the 22nd and the qualification date is the 18th, then it's not possible. So they're not going to qualify for that.
Are you? That is totally different than what I was. Are you sure?
No, I'm reading it from something.
Let's start over again.
Okay. All right. To qualify,
is this a new report?
This is new. This is a new article.
Okay.
Okay. So to qualify for the February 25th debate in Charleston, South Carolina, candidates need to hit 10% in four polls approved by the Democratic National Committee.
I thought that Bloomberg was at that point.
Okay. Or 12% in the South Carolina specific polls, or win at least one delegate to the Democratic National
Convention.
I think
he's going to do it with the polls.
Okay. Let me finish. Yeah. From one of the three preceding early states. New Hampshire, Bloomberg is not at 10% yet.
He's not?
No.
Okay.
Or early states, Iowa, New Hampshire, or Nevada. Polls must be released between February 4th and February 24th. Now, these rules are similar to the criteria for the February 19th debate in Nevada, with the only changes being a shorter polling window and not counting Nevada polls towards qualification, because the debate takes place after the Nevadans would have voted. So the five candidates that have qualified for South Carolina are Joe Biden, Pete Buttigieg, Amy Klobuchar, Bernie Sanders, and Elizabeth Warren. And those same five are the only candidates who've qualified for the debate in Nevada on February 19th. So the two billionaires, Steyer and Bloomberg, have not met the qualification criteria for either the Nevada or the South Carolina debates. But it just said, and the deadline to qualify is November 18th, but it says that Bloomberg is, however, on the precipice of making the stage in Nevada next week. The former New York City mayor, who has not yet taken part in a DNC-sanctioned debate, needs one more poll to qualify for next week's debate in Nevada and two more polls for the South Carolina debate. So if he, you know, rises in the polls, he can potentially qualify. And Steyer hasn't qualified for the debates either. And let me see if there's an opportunity. Based on what I'm reading, Steyer has to break the Las Vegas poll. He has to break 10% in that to qualify. So I think Bloomberg has a better chance through the polling of getting in than Steyer. Although Steyer's campaign thinks that Steyer is better positioned in the next two states, Nevada and South Carolina, than he's been with some of the other polls. So we'll see.
Wow.
But for the moment, expect the same five people on the stage in South Carolina and Nevada.
So, you know, the stories we've been covering today are the election fraud, Virginia legislation that's passing that popular vote deal.
Right.
Also, we were talking about, you know, Barr starting to look into the investigations, mm-hmm. the investigators, and also some other things like that. There's a lot coming down the pike. We have more information that's going to be revealed with Epstein. We have the Julian Assange court case is going to be heard in about 5 days in England.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to reveal a lot of interesting information, I think, related to Seth Rich, potentially. And then or it's going to pave the way for that.
Right.
Because it's going to, he's either going to be, his fate's going to be known after, you know, a certain point. Mm-hmm. And then he's going to be able to make a decision right. as to how he wants to go forward. But the Gateway Pundit just came out with this article today. And it says, Virginia Dems passed several radical bills you have to see to believe. And it says, both chambers of the Virginia legislature passed radical anti-American bills to allow illegal aliens to obtain a driver's license without proof of citizenship. If Democrat Governor Ralph Northam, a.k.a. Governor Blackface, signs the bill, Virginia will become the 15th state to allow illegal aliens to obtain driver's license. Now, what this is all about is that, you know, they're also the, now going with the popular vote.
Mm-hmm.
So what they want to do is they want illegals to vote because they, or it's not just even about illegals voting. Okay, this is the part that people need to understand. Because some people would make the argument, well, why doesn't Republicans just try to win over that base?
Yeah.
Well, number one, we shouldn't be competing to win over illegals to vote, right? That's right. Number one. Nobody declared them legal to vote.
And the driver's license is the first step towards getting ID.
Well, in and every case that I've ever heard with regard to driver's licenses is that the prevention of them voting is honor system,
mm-hmm.
which is not honorable. It's never been honorable, yeah. right? So that's the first thing. And the second thing is that the ID is what allows the people that are in charge of this fraud to systematically, and I use the word system strategically here.
Right, of course.
But they have to get into the system.
Right.
So once they get an ID, they're now part of the system.
They're
part now of they the- could be systematically, their IDs could be systematically stolen.
Right.
Well, okay, and then they can be moved to any state where they want that ID to vote.
Well, with the driver's
and the person that's the victim of that can't speak English, number one. And number two, they don't even know what's happening to
right,
them.
Exactly.
They're not the one committing the law violation. It's the people that are systematically committing this fraud that are exploiting that identity.
And well, with the driver's licenses, as you pointed out, that furnishes IDs for the potential voter fraud. IDs also where you get into the system and you get access to benefits that you ordinarily would not have access to because you're not a U.S. citizen. And that could also create stealing because you hear the old stories of somebody goes and steals granny's Social Security money. I mean, this could be happening all over the place.
The Supreme Court needs to weigh in on these issues. The states are running roughshod yeah. over all this stuff. It's unbelievable. What they're getting away with, these states.
Yeah.
And it's always these liberal states. And why is it that they're so hungry and generous to get these illegals and give them protection?
Because they want to exploit them.
Yeah, exactly.
That's, you know, and in actuality, the illegals are often... All right,
they're the victims.
They're the victims. Now, sometimes, as we've discussed before, we've had horrible incidents where illegals have committed crimes, but they are the victims. They are being exploited.
By the left, just like, you know, when Lyndon B. Johnson,
yeah,
he put together this whole civil rights package with, you know, affirmative action and quota-based systems and welfare systems and things like that. And what did he say? He said, we're going to own these N-word
right.
used, right?
Yep.
For the next 200 years. You mark my words.
Well, speaking of which, Joe Biden, you know, over the weekend on a talk show, once again put his foot in his mouth, but he basically said something to the effect that the Donald Trump won the election in 2016 because Hillary Clinton ignored the black vote.
Right.
And what's interesting is Biden's
He's
popularity
the
among
vote.
The black vote is sinking. He's at about 27%.
Because they could see right through his
and
BS.
And Bloomberg is climbing, and Bloomberg is taking a lot of ads on black radio
well,
stations.
Well, once they hear Bloomberg's racial comments about throwing them against the wall and targeting
yeah.
black people.
But you know, it's interesting. I read something yesterday where they said in some of the states, like North Carolina, other places, they're not as in tune to what happened in New York, what happened on the national level, as they are what's going on right in their state. So if they hear him on their local black radio station,
oh.
they and he he's talking about, you know, the safety nets and other things that he's advertising on the on that local media, that may resonate more. And he, they may not be aware of how he flipped on Stop and Frisk.
He has as much charisma as a pea without cheese.
Well, a pea without cheese. I haven't quite
Everything's gone. Better with cheese. Everything's, vegetables like broccoli, cheese, casseroles.
I don't know how you would actually roll or wrap cheese around a pea, but I get your point.
And we got a minute, so I want to talk about Andrew Weissman. He, over the weekend, he's been out in the media. Folks, people are not in the media by accident. You know, this is all very strategic. And so it's kind of interesting to see, you know, these things happening. But Andrew Weissman says, AG Barr is starting new investigation into fired FBI officials Jim Comey, Andy McCabe, and Peter Strzok. And like little crooked man Andrew Weissman told Chuck Todd today, the new investigation initiated this week by Attorney General Barr involving U.S. Attorney in St. Louis, Jeff Jensen, that's his name, is a ruse to investigate Jim Comey, Andrew McCabe, and Peter Strzok, and he would know. On Friday, Attorney General Bill Barr assigned an outside prosecutor to review the abusive case against General Mike Flynn. Barr also assigned a handful of prosecutors to review other cases in the U.S. Attorney's Office in D.C. And there's an interesting meme that they posted. It has a picture of Sessions, 637 days, zero indictments of deep state. Then Matthew Whitaker, 100 days, zero indictments of deep state. And then you got William Barr, 365 days, zero indictments of deep state. I mean, this is getting old, you know? I mean, patience is one thing, but come on, right? I mean, this is ridiculous. Zero indictments of deep state in 3 years?
When What's
you
doing?
See what happens to Roger Stone? So since the 2016 election, there has been no arrests of deep state criminals who spied against the Trump campaign and shared information with the Hillary Clinton campaign in order to ruin Donald Trump. This is widely regarded as the greatest political corruption scandal in U.S. history. Andrew Weissman was in on it from the very beginning. And, you know, Washington Examiner came up with an article about it as well. And it's getting really old. But at some point, the tables are turning. And like I say, there's a lot of information that's coming out in all the different cases. Like we talked about Julian Assange, Epstein, Durham and Barr's investigation. McCabe's not out of the woods yet. And we're cracking down on the illegals that are amounting to major election fraud. Things are happening, folks. Stay positive about it. But with that, you're listening to the Scott Adams Show. My name's Scott Adams.
My name's Leonora Cravetta.
We'll see you next time on the radio. Bye-bye now.
Town in Tennessee, a long way from the suits in D.C., but close enough now to see this mess.